Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Father Narek from St. Sarkis Church with a new episode of the podcast. Did you go to church last Sunday? Did you enjoy the celebration of Divine Liturgy? I told the deacons and the altar servers of St. Sarkis Church to enjoy Badharak because as of next Sunday, the curtains of the altar will be closed as we start observing the season of the Great Lent. Let us start our program with a prayer from the Divine Liturgy of the Armenian Church. O Lord, remember those who asked us to pray for their living and their dead, and through our prayers, lead them and us in the right path and into salvation, and reward everyone with your good and eternal gifts. Cleanse our thoughts and make us temples of the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with whom to you, Father Almighty, and your Holy Spirit, the life-giver and the liberator, befits glory, lordship, and honor, now and forever and ever. Amen. I'm excited for this weekend because we will have our monthly Bible study session with the young adults of our church. Last month we had our first session and I'm looking forward for our second meeting. I encourage all my listeners to sign up and join the Bible study class on Sunday at 4 p.m. Today is a very important date in our liturgical calendar because the Armenian Church celebrates the Feast of Vartanants, commemorating the war between pagan Persia and Christian Armenia in 451. The King of Persia ordered all Christians under his rule to abandon Christianity and embrace Zoroastrianism. The Armenian clergy and ruling princes refused to follow this dictum. As recorded by the historian Yerishe, the Christian soldiers took an oath to fight enemies of truth. We are ready for persecution and death and every affliction and torture for the sake of the holy churches, which our forefathers entrusted to us by the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, whereby we were reborn ourselves by torments and blood. For we recognize the Holy Gospel as our Father and the Apostolic Universal Church as our Mother. Let no evil partition come between us to separate us from her. Vartan Mamigonian was the leader of the Armenians in the decisive battle of Avarayr. And although outnumbered, the Armenians put up a valiant defense. Vartan and many of his soldiers were killed, but the Persians suffered greater casualties. And with this battle, the Persians recognized the strong commitment of the Armenians had for their Christian faith. On the eve of the Battle of Avarayr, Vartan spoke to his men, assuring them that righteousness was on their side and encouraged them to be brave and fearless. I entreat you, therefore, my brave companions, especially because many of you surpass me in valor and precede me in princely rank. But since you, of your own free will, have selected me as your leader and commander, let my words be pleasant and agreeable to you all, great and small. Fear not the heathen hordes and never turn your backs to the frightful sword of mortal men. Because should our Lord grant us victory, we shall destroy their might and the cause of righteousness shall be exalted. But if the time has come for us to meet a holy death in this battle, let us accept our fate with joyful heart, without mingling cowardice, and with our valor and courage. Our commander is not a mere man, but the commander-in-chief of all martyrs. Fear is a sign of doubt, but as we have repudiated doubt long since, let also fear disappear from our hearts and minds. The struggle continued for more than 30 years. In 484, Vahan Mamigonian, nephew of Vartan, successfully negotiated the Treaty of Nvarsag, the first document in history granting religious freedom and home rule. As you listen to the podcast today, I would like all of you to think about this important date, because if it wasn't for Vartan and his soldiers who fought for their faith, chances are that we would not have survived as Christians and as Armenians. A great theologian once said, "The saint is not the one who accepts sufferings because he likes it, and confesses this preference before God and men in order to win a great reward. He is one who may well hate suffering as much as anybody else, but who so loves Christ that he will allow his love to be proved by any suffering. And he does this not because he thinks it is an achievement, but because the charity of Christ in his heart demands that it be done." Today I am privileged to have the presence of His Eminence Archbishop Oshagan, the prelate of the Eastern United States, to be my guest for the podcast. Սրբազան հայր, ասպազոխնական, and welcome back to the podcast.
Բարի ձեզ, դեր հայր, օրտնյադեր.
Սրբազան, you were recently visiting Lebanon. You were at the headquarters of our Catholicosate in Antelias. Would you be kind enough to tell us about your visit to Antelias?
It was a joyful moment for me to be in my headquarters with my brothers, and especially with Vehapar, who recently had returned from Armenia after attending the meeting of the 100th anniversary Central Committee, and also he met with His Holiness Karakin Vehapar in order to discuss the last stage of sanctification of the genocide victims. So we had a Central Committee meeting, both religious and lay, and in one instance mixed meeting lay and clergy, and we discussed these matters. Especially we started with the report on the sanctification of the genocide victims. In order to give a background, first of all, I have to say that for almost 500 years in the Armenian Church we never had a new saint, and it was very, very difficult to study and decide what to do, because we have lost the tradition of sanctification. We tried to follow the pattern of our fathers, who had the reason or the way to have a group sanctification, like the saints of Voskyang, Sukyasang, and especially Vartanang. So following that pattern, we decided to have a group sanctification rather than in number 1.5 million Armenians.
So this was something that I believe it was a topic for your contemplations and decisions when the bishops and the archbishop of the Armenian Church had their meeting back in September.
Yes, it was true. Under the auspices and presidency of His Holiness Karakin II and His Holiness Arm I, all the bishops of the Armenian Church were the conclave in Holy Echmiadzin in order to discuss different matters, and one of the topics was the sanctification of the genocide victims. Eventually, all the bishops agreed for this group sanctification, and hopefully on April 23rd, exactly at 19:15 local time, which is also symbolically 1915, the genocide year, when both Catholicoi will declare the sanctification of the genocide victims.
Is this going to be a special church ceremony?
Yes. On the 23rd of April, in Holy Echmiadzin, both Catholicoi and those bishops who are able to be there will have a special ceremony. In the morning, there will be a pontifical badarak, and in the evening, we'll have that very important sanctification ceremony, and we already prepared the ceremony, the prayers, how we are going to declare, and also we have the history of our genocide victims, which we, in Armenian, we say Vagaya Panutyun.
For the average listener, the person who comes to our church, I think they have all a question in their minds. What is the difference? Why are we declaring our genocide victims as saints? What is the value in the action that the church is taking on the 100th anniversary of the genocide?
From the early centuries, those who died for their faith, the Christian church, the traditional, the large Christian church, we call universal Christian church, they adopted and they sanctified those who gave their life for Jesus, for the faith. And we know that hundreds of thousands of people, they had the opportunity to renounce their faith, but they chose not to denounce rather than die for their Christian faith and Armenian identity.
It's very interesting that as we're having this interview, we know that this week the Armenian Church celebrates the feast of Saint Vartan. Do you see a link between the saints who fought and died along with Saint Vartan and the martyrs that the church will sanctify in April?
There is a slight difference, because during Saint Vartan's time, they defended their faith. They defended their fatherland. While in this case, unfortunately, it was well organized and executed a genocide when the Armenian youth and those who were able to fight were taken to draft and they were killed in the mountains or in working places. So we didn't have that time to be prepared. We have here and there, like in Sassoon or in Zeytun or in Jebel Musa, people revolted to defend themselves. But in general, it was not a war like Vartan and his companions fought against the Persians who were trying to impose Zoroastrianism on Armenians. So one is defending the faith, the other one is dying for faith.
Yet the faith is a common theme. Serpazanayr, this year, as everyone knows, is a very important year for us Armenians because we are commemorating the centennial of the Armenian genocide. And we know that the Armenian community here in the Eastern United States have various programs. We know that there will be a major commemoration in Washington, D.C. Would you like to talk to us about that event?
First, I want to congratulate our organizations who came under the leadership of the prelacy and the diocese in a unified way to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. And this is a very good sign because it shows the unity that we have as Armenians and Armenian Christians. For this reason, we made two different committees. One committee, which we call Centennial Committee, for the eastern region of the United States is mainly dedicated to raise the awareness among non-Armenians and Armenians about genocide. The second one, which we call National Centennial Committee, it includes also the Western Prelacy and Diocese, in other words, all the United States. And for that reason, we are going to have different events, activities in Washington, D.C. I can say that mainly we'll have four major activities or events. The first one, which is very, very important for us, because it is a prayer evening, ecumenical prayer evening, where all the church leaders of the United States and the politicians, senators, congressmen, and also will extend invitation to the State Department and to the president in order to attend to this ceremony. By the way, both Katolikoi will be here, plus the president of the Armenian Republic. It is very important for us because that will show the Armenian unity and awareness which we want to raise among other people, especially in this case, United States, which officially until now does not recognize the genocide. The second one is a concert. You'll say for the 100th anniversary, why a concert? The concert is a journey from the genocide or pre-genocide Armenian music to nowadays. So, in other words, we want to show them that the Armenian spirit is alive, and especially the creative spirit, in this case, the music of the Armenian people, is alive. So this is why it's a journey from pre-genocide until these days. We are inviting very, very famous artists. I cannot now 100% say who are going to attend, but I know very, very sure that we have very internationally known artists who are going to participate to this concert. The third one is Pontifical Badarak, and it will be in the Catholic Shrine, a big church in Washington, D.C. And again, either one will say the Badarak, Ve'aparai Rabetz, and definitely both of them will have their own message to our people in that shrine. It's a big church, at least 2,000 to 3,000 people. And it is very important also to mention that the choir, which is going to sing in the church, also it at the National Cathedral, the first day, it's a joint choir of the diocese and prelacy church choir singers.
Sir Pazanhar, we also know that after the Washington events, there will be a pontifical visit. Aram Vehapar will be
before going to that visit, I want to add also there will be a banquet that will be the last event in Washington, D.C., when we are going to thank all these people who, after the genocide, helped the Armenian people, starting from Nearest Foundation and to all people, charitable organizations, individuals who helped us in order to survive and see this day. Not only, usually we say commemoration, now it's becoming celebration because we are finding our spirit, togetherness, in order to see our future brighter. For the pontifical visit, it was planned 2 years before to have Vehapar, Aram Vehapar, in the States. But as you remember, the situation in Syria was very, very dire, and Aram Vehapar decided to stay with his people, and we canceled that trip. Now, because he will be in the States, we try to have a following pontifical visit to that visit in Washington, D.C. And again, inspired by the sacrifice of the Armenian genocide victims, we chose the theme as faithfulness to their faith, Christian faith, and to their Armenian identity. So the theme is faithfulness to Christian faith and Armenian identity.
That's the theme of the pontifical visit of Aram Vehapar.
Unfortunately, because of time limitation, Aram Vyapar is not going to visit all the parishes of our prelacy. But we'll start from Washington, then we'll go to Philadelphia, New Jersey, and it will be again a milestone day for the 100th anniversary of the New York Cathedral, St. Illuminators. That day, Aram Vyapar will say the Badarak in the cathedral, and hopefully the churches in New Jersey and Douglaston will join us that very
That's
day.
That's taking place on May 17.
May 17, right. Then we'll go to Douglaston. In other words, we'll come here. And then to Detroit. This time, there will be a very, very important encounter of Vyapar Arabet with AYF junior kids. That will be in the prospect in their camp there. And on 24th of May, Vyapar will meet mostly teenagers. First, we'll have a ceremony, which we call a Thanksgiving prayer for Republic of Armenia, because it's coming May 28th, the First Republic. And then Vyapar will sit with the kids and have question-answer period. We'll spend the whole day with the kids. Definitely,
exciting.
It will be a memorable day for these kids. When they grow up, they'll say, oh, Vyapar came and we spent the whole day with him. Then we'll go to Chicago, and from there, the final stop will be Boston, where he is going to, again, celebrate Holy Divine Liturgy. And after opening the NRA session, he will depart to his headquarters in Antilles.
So this will be a very exciting year for us. And with your permission, Sarpazan, I'm going to announce the date that on May 19th, a Tuesday evening, Aram Vyapar will bless us with his presence here at St. Sarkis Church in Douglaston. We are looking forward to that big date. Thank you very much, Sarpazan Hayr. You're always welcome here at the podcast, and our listeners enjoy hearing you and hearing your fatherly blessings.
Dear Hayr, after having the first podcast with you, and every time listening the successive podcast broadcasting, I want to thank and congratulate you for your effort, and also on behalf of all listeners who appreciate this very, very important broadcasting. Again, from bottom of my heart, I congratulate you, and God bless you, and make your all efforts come into very bright success.
Let's do the gospel reading and reflection. This is something that we do every week here on the podcast. Today's gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 6, verses 20 through 26. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. The Word of God. The reading today is very similar to the one that we had last week, the Beatitudes from the Gospel of Matthew. We see there is a slight difference between the version of Matthew and Luke. As we read the words of Jesus today, let us take a look at the example of Saint Vartan and all the saints, and let us learn from their example, integrity, and steadfastness in faith. Today's Sharagan is called Noraharash. This is the Sharagan that is dedicated to Saint Vartan and his companions. The Sharagan is performed by Archbishop Zare Aznavourian of blessed memory. I hope that you will enjoy listening to Noraharash. I will be back next week with another episode of the podcast. In the meantime, I pray that the peace of the Lord will remain always in your hearts. Amen. Noraharash Bësagavor Jev Zorakluh Arakinyas Varec Arzinu Hokvun Aria Parënd Temahu Vartan Kaçnadak Vorvan Ecer Ըստ Namin Vartakuyn Aryan Pëtko Bësagecer Zegeveci Yergnavor Takavor inzin uhatyal Bader azmin Hohagan imastutyam Hohematyal amjarabes Hore Hortagan yevzanutyal anun pari Haçeluyn vëga yevyal Heman baryan bësagecar Yergoku Harazadok ndrelakuyn nahadagok Harachal hamenetsunt kluh yev avard mardirosat Nahashavir koloparyat harachateman karekin Ëngaljalës prapionën Havtanag nahadaga